So it is a dialogue. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a communication. It's something that you are expressing, and you have, again, the people, 11 is very important. That you, why we don't think? Because we are familiar with tangible things. I see people around, or I hear people around, and I touch people, then I know they are there. But when it comes to God, He is invisible. But you must believe that He is. And He is a rewarder of those who comes to Him. And that developing of that relationship, again, if you look at Hannah, I believe Hannah prayed before. I believe she prayed before. Scripture didn't say it, but that's fine. You could disagree with me. But I think she prayed before. But this is the scripture recorded to us, the prayer when she reached to the point where she said, "You give me a male child, and I will give him back to you." I think it got to that high point in her life, and the scripture records that to us, that she wants the will of the Lord to be done. She is fitting now in the grand plan of God, of bringing Samuel, of bringing David, of bringing the Lord's anointed, to the fact, because you read that in her praise. So, a prayer is a development also. It is a training thing. You see the older saints that have experienced time with the Lord. They could tell you that it is a wonderful thing you develop. You get a little child who starts to talk. He asks for things all the time. And you're so happy when he asks for something. But then as they grow and they mature, the language will change. Their social skill will change. They'll be able to express things and dialogue and communicate with one another. And that's what prayer does to us.
Hannah was a woman of faith. There's no question. But who can tell me what the name Hannah means?
Grace.
Okay. Hannah is grace. And how do we see that now reflected in this chapter in the life and prayer and response of Hannah? We've heard this morning of the complete breakdown of the priesthood. We see and we know that the flesh is incapable of bringing fruit to God. Hannah was on her own strength incapable of producing the son whom she desired. That's not possible. We see that man in the flesh is unable to maintain the priesthood in a godly manner. There is no, it is impossible for us to bring fruit to God in the flesh. And so she's come to the end of herself. She pours out her heart to the Lord. And then in response, her faith takes hold of the grace that she knows is real. And that's what she realizes in verse 18. So that when she went away, she did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So she realizes the grace that is what gives her the strength now to go on. She's poured out everything. There's nothing more that she can do. She's poured it all out before the Lord, and now grace by faith that she accepts now whatever the Lord would have in response to her request. Whatever it is, now it's in His hands.
I think partly, we've been hearing that if you have faith and you pray to God for the glory of God, it will come to pass. And she heard the words of Eli. You were referring to Eli as, we'll see later on in this book, if you study it when you go home or whatever, that he wasn't a very good parent or whatever, and the priesthood sort of collapsed for a while there. And but nevertheless, he was the priest. And I think when he said something, I think it's safe to say these were the words of the Lord saying that, "Go thee in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition." So I think right there, it was a matter of leaving it in the hands of the Lord. It wasn't worrying her anymore. I firmly believe she had a lot of faith that she was going to have a child, because then the next day she goes and whatever. But but the important part I want to refer to is what Kevin was mentioning about the Word of God. And, you know, the Lord is here, but He speaks to us through the Word. And Hannah didn't have the whole Bible. In fact, probably only the five books of Moses were written here, and maybe some others, but she probably didn't even have it in her house. It was probably only in with Eli, and she couldn't read it every day, but we have this. And so if you're going to pray to God and want something to happen, and then you go on to make a decision like Hannah goes on, and it's not within Scripture, it's not of God. Because God speaks back to us through Scripture. So, I mean, I've heard it sometimes from people who are Christians for a long time. They say, well, God spoke to me. And you'll see it on TV, the people that he's speaking to me. And I'm going to go do this because he's speaking to just me. You know, no. Anything that he ever needs to say is right here. If it's not in here, it's not God's words. If you can't support what you're going to do or what you believe with Scripture, it's not true. It's not according. Everything we need to do, and every thought and every action needs to be according to Scripture. And I thought that's what Kevin was sort of saying at the tie in. I just think Eli's words are the words of God.
Words from the Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though he wasn't the most faithful priest.
I was thinking that this phrase that she poured out her soul before the Lord is the fact that it was a settled matter in Hannah's heart. Brother Emil suggested that Hannah in the past had prayed about her condition. I believe that that's true. But it's possible that she had the wrong motive up until this point. She wanted a son for her own selfish reasons, as has been said before. But now, through the exercise of her heart, things have been realigned. And she sees that there's a greater good if God were to bless her with a male child, that the glory of God would be seen in the neighborhood, the nations that surround Israel, that the failure in the priesthood is a reproach. And so Hannah, in her own way, and dear sisters and young men, you know, we've said earlier that children are a blessing from the Lord. But Hannah wasn't just satisfied to have a child now. She wanted this child to be someone that God could use. And should the Lord bring you together in marriage, husband and wife, when you pray for children, it shouldn't just be so that I have someone like me, someone that runs around and, you know, have some of my traits and DNA, but that this son, this daughter, might be someone that can come up in the assembly, can further the testimony, so that as others move on and you grow up, that your children might continue things for the Lord in this scene. So now Hannah, having, I believe, the right perspective, she can go before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to tell you, if you do this, he is yours. And when she's finished pouring out everything that she has before the Lord, it is a settled matter in her heart. She doesn't have to revisit this again.
That's it.
And even though Eli at the beginning wasn't able to understand, he looked at this woman and he says her lips moved and he had the wrong assessment of her. But she spoke to him and she said, look, I'm not a drunk. He says, I've poured everything out for the mercy seat. And he then could then have a right perspective and say, listen, you go, and the God of Israel, the great God, he will grant according to his mind. Hannah then returns home, and I believe her husband, I believe the other wife, saw a completely different woman because she was no longer occupied with offspring because she was being mocked, because she was barren, but she was occupied with the fact that if God was going to be pleased to bless her, that he was going to do it in the context of bringing someone who was going to help deliver Israel from its fallen state.